Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com and worldwide, including the Armed Forces Radio Network.
How this show has grown from, you know, maybe a couple hundred to over 40,000 people. And yeah, that's fantastic.
From coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire. New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.penlive.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Fellow de Borgheses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Toy Toy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com.
DonColtBiz.
I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Thank you, best people.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Good deal. Great to have you with us. It's for the bus people here, it is 88, like 90s, I think, with the heat index. It's like in the upper hundreds, but yeah, good times.
But no, the humidity is low today.
It is low.
Yeah. Today and yesterday, low. The humidity only got up to 79. I mean, that's, you know. So,
I don't know why it
yay.
Felt steamy earlier today. It just felt steamy. I know it's down to like 49% humidity, but earlier today, yesterday, it was like,
I noticed it today. I played golf this morning, and boy, I'll tell you, it didn't feel like it was low humidity. It was humid out there. So, but hey.
And where did you play, in Newport Richey or where?
No, actually, it was over in Zephyr Hills, Lake Burnett. So it was inland a little bit warmer and a little bit more humid.
Have you ever been to Quail Hollow?
Yes, I have.
I heard they're running some kind of $20 deal on Mondays and Tuesdays, and then after, I don't know, I forgot what time it was. It's Wednesday through, you know, whatever they're open, I guess. They're running some kind of deal. I don't know if that's a good price or what. I myself can't golf. It's too I don't know, strenuous and it takes too much thought. But I'd rather.
It's a nice course. I played Quail Hollow. They fixed it up and they put some money into it, and it's a nice course, and they're really promoting it big time. And that's a good price. That's a good price for them. Yeah.
Good. Okay.
So I might try to get in a game or two there before they lower their price. End of summer, you can start finding all sorts of good prices though around the area here. If any of you out there listening are golfers, you know, come visit us in Florida, and you know, Tampa area has got some great prices on golf during the summer. So.
Yeah. like championship type of deals. I mean, just the you know, some of the places around here. I mean, they're just well, PGA. They're located what in Palm Beach or something on the East Coast.
Yes,
I know the WPGA headquarters are located there, but yeah, and so we're big on golf here. That's for sure.
There's a lot of really. I think there's. I read the other day there's like 100 golf courses, private, semi-private, and public, in the Tampa Bay area. So,
just in the area.
In the area, yeah, that's stretching from Brooksville down to Sarasota. But there's 100 golf courses.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
a lot
great.
Of them in the area. So if you're golfers out there, you know, come out, play golf, and stop by the winery. Wine and golf go well together.
Well, wine goes with anything, but
yeah.
All right. Well, that's the show tonight. So thank you for listening.
Thank you all for tuning in for golf and wine show.
Yeah.
Oh,
all
before
right.
we sign off, though,
yes.
RadioDJMike.com. We always have to talk about that Friday and Saturday night. RadioDJMike.com on your local computer. Check him out. Make requests. Talk to him. So.
And I did play. You mentioned Silo last week. And I did play, what's the song name? Shades, I think, on the show. So that was pretty cool. It's good stuff. It's good songs.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's kind of like, well, they're from Louisiana, so it's kind of like the folk
Cajun country.
Folk, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
It's
good stuff.
Yeah.
It's a duet, and they have a good sound. And, we'll look forward to them again. You know,
oh, good.
They're on tour. They're doing little places around here, I guess. And when I played, they were in Mobile. So that's cool. Yeah.
Good. So there you go.
You.
Girls, you wanted to plug, you're getting them. Next time you're in the area here, which is probably won't be for a while because you were just here last week, but, you know, or if you hear this program, give us a call. We'll get you on and talk to you for a little bit.
That'd be cool.
So, yeah. But good, DJMike.com, or RadioDJMike.com. I keep forgetting that radio. RadioDJMike.com. You get links to his program he does Friday and Saturday night.
Doing wine and the show at the same time. That would be cool.
The same show. Golf and wine, great. The show and wine, not so great. I can't talk.
Yep. Right. I'll be right back. I got it.
Really. And yeah, I usually do have wine with the show, but I don't have wine this evening. I've got myself soda here. So.
Okay.
Oh, well.
That's different. Okay.
Yeah, it's a little bit something different tonight. We don't have a guest tonight. Next week, I won't be here on the show. I don't know what Mike's going to do, if he's going to run the show, if he's going to do the best of, or what he's going to do. But I just turned over to Mike, so he's got the show next week. So whatever he decides to do,
I have one hour of this.
1 hour of hits.
That's a preview of next week's show.
there you go. So tune in. RadioDJMike.com.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So
that'd be a lot of fun.
Check it out. But following week, the 14th, real good possibility we're going to have ourselves a guest from Shenley. I always pronounce Shenley.
Shenley.
Okay, Shenley Winery. They're in Homestead. They're down in South Florida. The furthest southern winery in the United States right now, I believe. So, they can't be because Hawaii's further south than Florida. So, and they got wineries. So, but contiguous United States. But looks like they may be our guest on in a couple of weeks. So tune in, check out. We're going to do a local one. Reason we're going to do them is because Mike was visiting them about, I guess, it's been a month now, and talked to them and all that. So I think they're going to be a guest with us. So that's
cool.
That's in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got just some miscellaneous stuff to pass on to you, different things tonight, and then you get a break from us next week. Oh, I checked Blog Talk Radio. When you tune into Blog Talk Radio in the search area there, type in wine, and boom, we are right up there. Yes, you know, the very, great big, you know, picture of my mug and you know, wine. That's, you know, we're the first ones to pop up when you type in wine on Blog Talk Radio. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you can't find the program or you lose us, then, you know, go that direction. You can find us. But we got some real estate. We got some real estate's always a fun thing. We got some real estate. We have some information, just different stuff to pass on to you this evening. First, though, I saw this. I get one of the trade journals. It's called Wine and Grape Grower. And this was in the trade journal I just received a couple of days ago. And I was shocked when I read this. The opening that we have, we hear the deep accented voice of Marco Borghese, the winery that we talked to in New York, and the Borghese winery and all that. Sad to say that he and his wife both have passed away. But let me read you this article, and in that way I don't need to paraphrase this. I think it's best if I just read you the whole article. It says, the Long Island wine region is profoundly saddened by the passing of two of our very dear colleagues over the past week. Just days after hearing that Anne Marie Borghese quietly lost her courageous battle with cancer, we learned of the sudden loss of her husband, Marco Borghese, in a tragic car accident. Marco and Anne Marie joined our region after purchasing Long Island's founding vineyard from the Hargraves in 1999. They quickly established themselves as vital members of our industry and the community. Just 4 years after moving to the North Fork, Marco was elected president of the Long Island Wine Council. With his European charm and relaxed elegance, he was instrumental in leading the organization through some difficult transitional times. Recognizing his important role on behalf of both Long Island and the broader New York State wine industry, the New York State Wine and Grape Foundation awarded Marco its highest honor in 2005. The foundation's Unity Award was established in 1990 to recognize individuals who have volunteered their time, shown exceptional leadership, and achieved recognized results in building industry, cooperation, and unity. Anne Marie was equally indispensable to the region. Vivacious and intelligent, she actively contributed to industry marketing strategies and activities while tirelessly promoting the family's wines and the North Fork across the New York metropolitan area. She graciously devoted significant time, expertise, and resources to many local community organizations and causes. The Long Island Wine Council and its members will greatly miss our good friends Anne Maria and Marco, and we join together in sending our deepest condolences to Allegra, Giovanni, Fernando, and the entire Borghese family. And All About Wine will join in that tribute to them also. It's always fun to hear his voice when he's on the opening there. And he was a fun interview. We talked to him, I guess it's been a couple of years now. But one of our North Fork, New York wineries we talked to. And one of the things, I think, if I remember correctly, he was the one who I asked if they were ready to harvest, and he responded, no, we are ready to net. And I questioned net, and he said, yes, they are in a migratory bird path, and everybody on Long Island has to net their vines to keep them from getting ate by the birds. And that's something I share continuously, but it's a sad thing. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, when we talk to people and all about wine and then hear something like that, it's like, you know, we lose a little piece of us because of that. So it's our thoughts and everything goes out to the Borghese family, and we will keep him and his voice in our opening And everyone can check out the archive of that show. I don't remember the date of it, but it's on there. It's in our archive. So check that out if you want to hear him and what he had to say. But sad loss.
Yeah. Did you mention the date? I was typing in stuff here, but did you mention the date of, I guess they are, they're welcoming the public to honor the lives of them on Saturday, August 16th.
Oh.
And there's a ceremony, I don't know if I can even pronounce this, at Our Lady of Ostrobrama RC Church at 3000 Depot Lane. And the city is Cutchugue, I have no idea, C-U-T-C-H-O-G-U-E, 3 p.m. And it says, then join us amongst the vines to dance, watch the setting sun, and reminisce at the Memorial Celebration of Life concert. So,
very good. Thank you. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it's on their website, CastelloDeBorghese.com. It's there's right on the front page. Wow, that's a
That's sad. Yeah, okay. I saw that. It caught my eye. I go, whoa, wait a minute. He's on our opening, and he, you know, we talked to him. It's it's a little sad that it's like, you know, like I say, it's like somebody, you know, part of All About Wine. Somebody's, you know, it's part of us, and it's tragic, and, you know, and his wife Anne Marie and everything. It just, you know, it's just really sad. So, but if anybody is in the New York area or anything like that, then you might want to attend that memorial. He was a fun interview. I remember. And after we got off the phone, Mike and I both commented. Boy, he was a little tough to understand on some of those words, but he was still fun. So, it's tragic. But if anybody in the New York area is around there, that's a couple of weeks from this Saturday. So that, for if you're listening to this on archives or something, that's going to give you enough time to make it and check it out or something. So, but yeah, that's sad. So, moving on. We have some real estate tonight. We have a few things here that Wine Country Classifieds is where I get this stuff. If, as always, if you want to know any more information, if you want to buy something or you want to check out it further, then give us a call or email us or Facebook or anything, any number of things, and we will pass the information on to you. Excuse me, I've got to make a note of this memorial on my notes here. So I'll probably put this memorial on August the 16th. 14, and then I'll go to the website and I'll make a note of that, and then that way I can post it on our Facebook page too, on the All About Wine Facebook page, so people can see that. So, real estate, here we go. Okay, first one here is Premium Lake County Red Vineyard. Cimarron Vineyard totals 294 acres. That's a pretty big one there, including 25 acres of mature red variety grapes sold to a premium Napa winery. So there you go. You've already got yourself an income from your grapes. An additional 100 acres appears to be plantable. So it's not all 294 planted. It's 25 planted. Well, maybe not. Let's see. A permit to plant 55 acres of this 100 acres bare land is close to approval by Lake County. Here is a trophy property located near Gulf and Anemones, but gated and private. Price includes the producing vineyard, land to plant, a stylish ranch home with bunkhouse, horse stables, reservoirs, and ponds, and sweeping views. Excess roads are paved and property is well maintained. Only $2,899,000. And if you want more information, contact me. I'll give you the numbers to get a hold of the people. Building site with acreage to plant. Lot 7 of Rim Rock Ranch, located in Hidden Valley, totals 19-plus acres with 7 to 10 acres of volcanic red soil to plant. Property comes with a new well, which in California that's very important right now. The building sites have expansive views of the Coyote Canyon. Expansive views of the Coyote Valley, located 1.5-hour drive from Calistoga in Napa County to Hidden Valley in Lake County, near golf and other amenities. Wonderful gated community with paved access to property entrances. Lots of value and price to sell at $399,950. Wow. Lot 7. Okay. That's 7 to 10 acres to plant. So, wow. There you go. High View Winery Vineyard. 40 plus or minus acres overlooking Conumus River, 6-acre vineyard, Zin, Syrah, Grenache, and Mourvèdre, wine building with equipment, caretaker unit above winery, $739,000. That's a good price, too, 40-plus acres in Napa. And here's another one here. Winery for sale, situated on 32.44 plus or minus acres on two parcels, consists of a tasting room, private offices, kitchenette and storage with an apartment above, patio with an arbor for events. The crush pad has an equipment room with all equipment included. The cellar has two roll-up doors, inventory available and sold separately. No price though. But still, hey, winery all set to go. And we got some more here. We got some nice ones. This next paper here. All sorts of variety here. Large diversified ag holding. Strong production history. 148 plus or minus acres Cabernet and 50 plus acres walnuts. No price, but this is in California. It doesn't say exactly where either. Wine warehouse in St. Helena. 4,000 square feet refrigerated for lease. So if you have grapes you want to keep refrigerated or anything. Country estate and vineyards. 39 plus or minus acres with custom 5-bedroom, 4.5-bath of 5,024 plus or minus square foot home and Chardonnay. So, in vineyards, I guess the vineyards is a Chardonnay. No price. Vineyard and ranch for sale. Okay, I thought maybe this might be the same one, but it's not. I just read. Property consists of plus or minus 744.22 acre ranch. Includes plus or minus 64 acres of premium grape varietals, an additional 40 acres of plantable land, and a 20-acre farmstead, which consists of 4,000-square-foot main residence with a swimming pool, employee's home, two barns, shop, and a garage office. Only $2,900,000. You can probably get it for $2,500,000. Winery and tasting room for sale, 8 years in business. And that's all it says. I don't know where or anything else. So, you know, quick and easy. Russian River AVA property for sale. Close to many top-rated Sonoma County wineries, 49.14 plus or minus acre property with a 6 parcels. 10 to 12 acres of plantable vineyard ground, plus a pond, plus a well on the west side of Waller Road. A steel frame shop holding or I'm sorry, the still frame shop building is located on east side of Waller Road. Zoning plus opportunity plus vision may allow for many potential uses. Placerville Winery and Tasting Room. Winery home on 20 acres, vineyard Richard, Zin, Merlot, Barbera, and Cab. Great El Dorado County location. $850,000. El Dorado County, 20 acres, $150,000 is a pretty decent price, really. Prestine Placerville Vineyard Estate. 24.5 acres with two parcels. 9.4 acre vineyard planted in Chardonnay, Riesling, Cabernet, and Mourvèdre. Custom home, pond, ag building, and storage. Farm equipment included. $729,000. Well, all these are below this million mark. That's not too bad. 40 plus or minus acre overlooking Cunyunis River. I think I just, is that the one I just read earlier here? High View Wine, yeah. That's, again, $739,000. Colibri Ridge Winery Vineyard. 21.3 acre, 5.8 acre of vineyard, 3,600 square foot winery building, tasting room, equipment included, Tempranillo, Syrah, Primitivo, and Viognier. Primitivo is Zinfandel. I wonder why they said Primitivo instead of Zinfandel. That's odd. High View Winery and Vineyard. And that's the one I read earlier, 40. I just read that one to you. And that's it. That's all of them. I thought that was one more there. So there you go. There's our real estate for this this time. We again, if you have any questions or if you're interested or if you would like to know more about any of those, get in touch with me. We will be more than happy to send you contact information and let you start your own vineyard or continue your own winery or vineyard or whatever you like to do. So let's see. Let me get my books together and my papers together here and all that and pull up some other stuff I want to talk to you about here. Early harvest. 2014 harvest is beginning all over. California Ventures optimistic about the early harvest with continued high quality. And, you know, we're hearing so much of this stuff about the drought and everything, and then we start hearing about how great the harvest is and the high qualities and stuff like that. You know, is this drought really affecting them a lot or what? I mean, so much is written about it, but they're saying here the harvest is great. An early vintage is getting started in North Coast, where some of the vintners are picking grapes this week for sparkling and rosé wines. The 2013 vintages arrived earlier than normal also, and the growers are seeing that the 2014 will be even earlier than the 2013. They are saying that the quality is comparable to 2012 and 2013. Excuse me. And the yields are expected to be slightly above average, but not quite as big as 2013 was. Now, this is North Coast, that area. Harvest has already begun in Temecula Valley, as well as other areas in Southern California's Central Valley. The Northern California regional manager and winemaker for Atlas Vineyard Management said picking will start this week, but the big start will come next week. So we're into it. I mean, it's starting to harvest. I'm going to have to start looking at when we're going to be harvesting real soon here too, and hopefully it won't interfere with any of the programs coming up that we'll be doing here. But my managers at both the vineyards are saying that, you know, not yet. So we'll see. He said that the picking grapes of sparkling wine in the Russian River AV of Sonoma Valley started on Wednesday. And that is a record early start for the winery for Atlas Vineyard Management, which manages over 1,600 acres from California's Central Coast to Mendocino County and on up into Oregon. ripening is occurring, they're saying anywhere from 10 to 14 days earlier than normal. They noticed that the grapes in the Santa Rita Hills are ripening even earlier. This early drought has made the cycle start earlier, which is why you're starting to see this quicker development of it. They're also saying they're seeing smaller clusters with smaller berries than in 2013. So the drought is starting to affect it, but it's still very prolific and still coming, you know, with some great grapes. The major concerns are range during harvest, and the logistics are bringing in grapes that several different varieties are ripening on the same schedule. A lot of them are coming out right now. The vintage, however, is that it could be better than 2013, and that has everybody excited. The winemaker for Atlas's new Agnitio brand, which the company develops to support its vineyard workers, and he said that the new brand is helping scholarship fund for the children of the vineyard workers. Hey, good for you people. Good for you. Mum in Napa, the champagne company, our sparkling wine company in Napa, confirmed the winery will be picking its first Pinot Noir grapes at the Rutherford, California site this week. And let's see, this was dated the 27th, so that was Sunday, so they're saying it should be picked by this week, so they're probably out there picking now in those locations. The appears 2014 will continue a string of high quality harvests with good yields. High quality fruit is in abundance. The growing season has been running 2.5 weeks ahead of what's typically considered normal. Crop load is also above normal, but not quite as big as last year. A tropical front from the Pacific brought high humidity and some showers earlier this month. And they didn't see, Napa didn't see much rain, but the humidity was a bit of concern because of mildew and dropped the fruit before harvest. North Coast, on July 29th, Steve Mathiason picked Syrah for his own brand from a vineyard in the Dunnigan Hills AVA. And this year he picked the same vineyard a day earlier. July 28th, this is early July. This is early for these things out here. Last year was almost shockingly early, and this year is even earlier. He said the spring rains that hit the north coast in March came at just the perfect moment for the area's vineyards, and it helped vineyards in Sonoma, Napa, and Mendocino to stay vigorous and produce enough leaf area to help the grapes go through the drought. So that's fantastic. He said that he thinks the yields will be a bit above average, yet smaller than last year. Mathiason is president of Premier Viticultural Services, said it looks like an early harvest throughout the North Coast, following the same pattern as last year. Compared to the cooler, wetter years of 2010 and 2011, he said he expects Bordeaux varieties to come in a full month earlier, around the second week of September, as opposed to October. Merlot and Zinfandel vines appear to have suffered some shatter, but he said that this isolated pockets and stuff, so it's not a statewide problem. Overall quality should be excellent. Warm but not too hot weather has provided excellent ripening conditions that produce balanced grapes. The only dark cloud on the horizon, they said, in fact, is the complete lack of dark clouds on the horizon. Oh, very nice play of words. As some wells are already starting to go dry. He says a particular concern is Northern California experienced a long spell of hot weather, leaving growers without significant irrigation. The big picture is the groundwater is not good. They need a good rain, hoping for an El Nino to come and help them out. Central Coast, the Allison Crow winemaker at Plata Wine Partners said that Paso Robles was coming in well. It's already starting to pick. Everything looks like it's going to be 2 weeks early there. First grapes usually come from the vineyard in Canaris, and she expects to pick those during Labor Day weekend. So that's coming up, Labor Day weekend. September, right? Yeah, first weekend in September, which is a couple weeks early from normal time. Concerns included prolonged heat spike or some rain, but they don't see anything on the long-range forecast to worry about. The concerns that they have is the cab gets ripe right away on the heels of the Pinot, so it causes a traffic jam in the cellar. It overall is looking good in all of California. Early harvest in the north, and a month early in the north, down to just a couple weeks early in the central and southern parts of the state. So this is from Wines and Vines, the latest online issue, for those of you who want to check that out. But yeah, great. I was surprised that it was that soon that they were getting that stuff in. And usually don't come in that fast. So, let's see. Here we go. This is something else. Well, I'll continue. This is from another article. It says, drought fails to dampen California spirits for 2014 harvest. Many winemakers in California believe the state's drought will not drastically affect this year's harvest, as we just was talking about there. Let's see. Oh, here. TTB to review alcohol labeling. As soon as this comes up here, we will continue to talk about this. Here we go. TTB to review alcohol labeling. GMOs in your beer and wine. It's, let's see, that says beer. Let's see what else. Well, I guess it would apply to just about everything. Labels and alcohols here. This is interesting. I mean, this is interesting because of the fact that this big thing around the country about GMO and what's going on with GMOs and all that. That's genetically modified organisms or genetically modified foods, what it boils down to. But it says, the article here is wondering if your favorite beer contains GMO. How about, does it contain antifreeze or MSG? These are just a few of the additives in beer, wine, and other alcoholic products which are currently not required to be labeled. This could change soon, though, due to state pressure regarding GMO labeling laws that were recently brought to light. The Tax and Trade Bureau, TTB, was given jurisdiction over alcohol labeling just after Prohibition. And Congress passed the Alcohol Administration Act of 1935, which gave the Department of Treasury the power. Now, we've talked about the TTB in the past, and we've, you know, a few episodes on it, and what they do and how extensive it is. And you can always go to that website and look at all the stuff. But alcohol was seen as a big tax revenue generator, much the same as marijuana is being recognized now as a big income for states. In the 30s, though, there was no consideration for biotech monopolies that would eventually infiltrate the food supply, including alcoholic beverages. Many beer and wines now contain GMO soy, high fructose corn syrup, a GMO product, GMO rice, and other genetically modified organisms. We've discussed this in the past on that, but the TTB is getting into it now. Beer can contain, and let's, you know, since they don't list wine, let me talk about this here on beer. Beer can contain GMO corn, GMO corn syrup, GMO rice, GMO dextrose, monosodium glutamate, or MSG, propylene glycol, a chemical found in antifreeze, caramel coloring made from carcinogenic ammonias, calcium disodium, EDTA made from formaldehyde, sodium cyanide, and ethylidomine, I believe that's how it's pronounced. Fish bladders, stabilizers linked to intestinal tissues, food colorings made from petroleum and linked to hyperactivity and learning disabilities, and BPA, a toxic substance which is made from plastic and causing epidemic obesity. These are things that can be found in beer. Now, that's not saying all beers have them. That's not saying that, you know, the ones you're drinking, but these can be found in beers. The TTB says, and I quote, given the inquiries we have received and interest at the state level, we are reviewing our policy on GMO-related statements on labels under our jurisdiction. End quote. So they are actually looking at it. Currently, the Texas Alcohol Trade and Trade Commission labels on alcohol scarcely provide any information to consumers at all, which they don't. We've talked about this. We've talked about what they're going to be doing and what are they going to change this? Are they going to make it more? There is no mention. The labels only, they label only the proof or the percent of alcohol, carbohydrates and protein as well as calories. There is no mention of carcinogenic additives and GMOs lurking in your favorite drink. Whether you enjoy Corona, Miller Lite, Foster's, or Guinness, it likely has ingredients in it you may never consider drinking. So, just a petition, Center for Science and the Public Interest is looking at petitioning and then sued the U.S. government to reveal beer ingredients 3 decades ago. There is a quote, it says, the government used to publish a list of permitted ingredients in beer, which included food dyes, foam enhancers, preservatives, sweeteners, enzymes, and chill-proofing agents. The organization said ingredients like propylene glycol, alginate, red 40, caramel coloring, and others should certainly be listed on labels in case consumers are concerned about allergens or simply troubled by beers that contain a raft of additives. End quote. If the TTB allows states to decide whether manufacturers have to label their products, we can look forward to more transparency and place another nail in the biotech coffin. But then again, if the states have to do it, you have to, you know, we talked to a representative last week that was, back on the 10th of this month, Kevin Ambler, who was a state of Florida representative, and he mentioned the fact that the Commerce Clause can't let states do one thing with that can affect the whole country. So if a state passes that you have to label all this stuff on your label and other states don't, then the state that doesn't can't ship into the states that requires it unless they comply. I don't know. There's a, you know, this GMO thing is really is something that I think is going to have to be faced head on reasonably soon here, because it's, as far as wine goes, they're talking about beers here, as far as wine goes, you know, so many things are a natural byproduct, but, you know, I don't know of anything, I'm sure there are things out there, I don't know of anything that's going to be added to wines that are GMO affected. I don't know. I'll have to check that out and see. But I can't think of anything else. But TTB is starting to look into this. The TTB is starting to check on this and see if it needs to do something about it. Who knows? The TTB has just established a new AVA, American Viticulture Area, the latest one. And in 1 second here, I'll have it after I get myself a drink of my soda tonight. Oh, each week I'm adding on to the onto the program's Facebook page a new little feature. Every Sunday I'm going to do a wine review. It could be anything. It could be bottles. It could be boxes. It could be anything. I'm just going to give you a quick review. I'm not going to pass judgment or say you have to get this. I'm just going to let you know quick my opinion of it. So, you know, the All About Wine Facebook page will have that on there weekly. On Friday, August the 1st, 2014, the TTB will publish a final rule in the Federal Register establishing the approximately 11,178-acre Mentone Valley, American Viticulture Area, in portions of Shasta and Tehama counties in Northern California. The Mentone, M-A-N-T-O-N, I think Mentone, the Mentone Valley Viticulture Area does not contain or overlap any existing viticulture area. TTB is issuing this regulation in response to a tradition from local vintners and grape growers. It designates viticulture areas to allow vintners to better describe the origin of their wines and to allow consumers to better identify when they purchase. This final rule is effective on September 2nd, 2014. The public may view the rulemaking record for the Mentone Valley Viticulture Area and copies of the relevant rulemaking documents and link to the regulations government docket may be found on the TTB website, www.ttb.gov. So as of tomorrow, it will be published, and you have 1 month to debate it if you have any problems with it, and the final ruling will be on the 2nd of September, the newest viticulture area in the country. So, again, www.ttb.gov, and you can, if you have issues, questions, or anything about that. Tasmania wine industry is looking good. Just to let you know quickly there, that's something we have never covered, was the Tasmanian wine industry. That's something that we haven't talked about or anything. I don't know if that's good or not. We haven't talked to these two states, Vermont and Wisconsin, but a blog by Melanie called Vinegar, V-I-N-I-G-G-E-R .com is the website. Vinny Vidi Bevy, she's wine connoisseur of the vinegar. I am not trained wine professional, but instead a California girl living in San Francisco who likes wine. An attorney by profession, I enjoy traveling, good food, wine, and other tasty beverages. So she does a wine blog, and the latest issue, she's talking about unique wines from Vermont and Wisconsin. And we have not talked to either one of these two places. But this interesting little article, I'm going to point out a few highlights here. There, as of June 2014, which is just last month, Wine and Vines published that there are a total of 7,946 wineries in the United States. California produces 89% of the American wine and has 3,782 wineries. But they're actually, wine is made in all 50 states. We know that this is the basis of the program a lot here, too. There are a couple wines from Vermont that she talked about. The sparkling wine from, I don't know what winery this is. La Garagista, from La Garagista. It's a sparkling wine, a small farm, garden, orchard, and vineyard located in the hills of Barnard, Vermont, where wine grapes, vegetables, fruits, nuts, flowers, and herbs are grown for the on-site restaurant kitchen that makes farm to table food. So this is Largagista 2013 Coup de Foudre Natural Vermont's White Sparkling Wine, $30. She doesn't say. Oh, here it goes. Yeah, this is interesting. This is. She said that it's not the standard champagne top. It is under a crown cap, like a beer cap. That's a crown cap. And it looks quite rustic and tastes. Looks and tastes more like a cider than a wine. It evolved, opened up sometime in the glass. With grass, yeast, and honey notes, she said. 11.5% alcohol and light bubbles. Also, Woolerson Winery 2013 Domaine du Sac, or du Sac, I guess it is, $14 from Wisconsin. Blend of French, Marisol Foch, and Leon Malo, grapes from Lake Wisconsin AVA. These wines are gems of the unexpected states, and let's see, this Beaujolais region, characteristics of the Beaujolais, the wine is whole berry fermented and cold soaked and then fermented in French and Wisconsin oak for 5 months. Tart cherry and raspberry. So, hints in it. But I thought that was interesting. A couple of wines there from two states we haven't visited yet. We are working our ways to them, so they will be. But 7,146 wineries in the United States, 3,782 out of California alone, with 89% of California wine, American wines, being made. So interesting little bit there. And let's see, that's not what I wanted to talk about. Let me see here. Well, I read that too. So let me look at. Here we go. This is what one other thing I want to talk about. Joy's Joy of Wine. Joy's been on the program a couple of times, and she's always was a pleasure when she's been on wine. She writes a couple of blogs, Joy's Joy of Wine being one of them, A Grave Interest being the other one, which talks about cemeteries and stuff like that. But her blog this week really it caught my eye. Because of the topic of what they're going to be doing here in the future. This is I think it's, I'm going to talk about it in a minute here. There we go. My computer decided to slow down a little bit. I've got you excited about it, but I'm not bringing it up. Oh, here we go. An update on The Judgment of Paris, the movie. You need to check this out. You need to go on there and read this blog because it tells you a lot. But basically, it says it all began in 1976 when the British wine merchant Stephen Spurrier organized the first Paris wine tasting. The event was meant to promote the best of the best in the French wine world. But then 11 judges from the French wine industry took part, comparing four white Burgundies against six California Chardonnay and ranked them in order according to preference. And then they also did four red Bordeaux compared to six California Cabernets. When the final results were done, the 1973 Chardonnay from Chateau Montalena in California was picked as number one. And the movie, the 2008 movie Bottle Shock, was based on that. But the red wine category, nothing. Whose wine won that? The Bottle Shock talks about the Chateau Montalena But the red wine was won by California winery Stag's Leap with its 1973 Cabernet Sauvignon. And so that was basically ignored. The now there is the rest of the story is coming out in a new movie based on a book written, first published in Time magazine by Time magazine journalist George Tabor, who was the only reporter at the Blind Tasting in 1976. He wrote an article published in June 7th edition of Time in 2005 called Judgment of Paris, California versus France and the Historic 1976 Paris Tasting that Revolutionized Wine. And it detailed everything that happened and everything that went on. Now they are looking at doing a movie based basically on that book, telling everything, a little bit more depth, a little bit more into it and all that. There is a trailer that you can see on Joy's Joy of Wine website. And all you need to do is Joy's, J-O-Y-S, Joy, J-O-Y of O-V Wine, W-I-N-E, Joy's Joy of Wine dot blogspot, B-L-O-G-S-P-O-T dot com. If you're not already a subscriber, I suggest you do. But there's a link, a trailer that is already out for the movie. And Judgment of Paris, the movie. And there is also a website, Judgment of Paris. That is the website. But I found this fascinating. I knew the winemakers at Stag's Leap and Chateau Montalina. I was in California at the time, and I got to know some of these people, and they were, you know, they were as shocked as everyone else in the world that there is one. They knew, we all knew we had great wines in California at the time, and but the rest of the world didn't understand how great they were. So this was a great thing that happened, and now they're setting the record straight with a new movie telling about the red and white and everything. So. Check it out. Again, Joy's Joy of Wine .blogspot.com, and she will, the whole article is there. Her old blog is there and telling you about it with links and different things. And I'm done.
Wow.
I've covered the stuff I wanted to cover, and real estate, and a little sad note at the beginning, but we are done for the night.
Yeah. And you know, everything that you said today, I was actually going to do for next Thursday.
Oh,
show.
Man, and I stole it from
so
you.
So, unfortunately.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I'm really sorry.
Well, you know, I don't know. I'll see what I can come up with. If I can come up with something, it's probably going to be last minute. But, yeah, I'll do a show.
Well, you know, I mean, You get on your shows every Friday and Saturday nights, and you do great. So I see no problem with you.
That's music, though. I can't sit here and play. You know, next week, monotone 32K because it's really low quality audio, but wine related music. I don't know, but just
you can play. You can play red wine for an hour.
No, not if there weren't any royalties that were required. Yeah, I could do that. But
yeah.
Are you kidding? They would jump all over us for that.
Yeah, they would.
That's another thing. Yeah. Whenever you ask,
are,
you know,
Days of Wine and Roses.
Yeah, that's. You know how,
or
how you ask all
and get away from it all, yeah.
Yes, there you go. We always ask, you know, wineries and people in the industry, you know, what do you think about the government? And you ask a person who's on a, you know, in the radio, especially the online stations, because you know they're basically paying stuff out of pocket. You know what they think about the DRM rules and all that kind of stuff, and you'll get. Usually it's the same answer, but it's not good. It's very, very expensive, and so that would definitely cost us a lot and possibly get us off of Blog Talk Radio. So,
yeah, it's possible. Yes, right. Yeah, absolutely right.
But so we will. You know, I'll see if I can come up with something. It's going to be kind of a semi-busy week coming up, but I'll see what I can do, what I can come up with. If I can come up with, you know, 30 minutes or more of material, then I can do this. But, yeah, we'll see. You know what we could do is maybe replay the show that had Marco on.
There
or little
you
bits
go.
And pieces of it. Maybe little bits and pieces of it. So,
there you go.
You know,
now, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
that's a real good idea. You can go and edit a few things out of that and, you know, some of the questions and stuff and just, you know, and just as a tribute. That would be very good. I like that. That is a good idea.
I think I will I'll start work on that, so we'll see what happens. Okay, cool. That'll be next week.
Yeah, that would be very good, yeah. You know, and then you know, a couple times, three or four times throughout the interview, you can jump in there and, you know, and just let people know that it's a tribute and stuff. Yeah, that's very good. I like that. Very good idea, Mike. Very good. So
that's why I'm on this side of the computer, and you know, you're well, I don't know, one side. You're probably on the same side, but you know.
Every
once in a while. Okay.
That's a good idea.
So it's just after 8 o'clock, and, because I was tweeting the information on our Twitter thing from here. So I put the two schedules up there for the celebration and all that. They call it a Memorial Celebration of Life concert, and it's on August 16th. So I put both of those details, well, 140 characters or less on Twitter on there. So that's on our page as well. So cool.
Good. Good.
It's just after 8 o'clock, and I think that'd be a good thing to do next week. So
that would
we'll
be
that.
A very good, very good, very good show. Yeah, good idea.
Cool. All right. Yeah. Every once in a while, I come up with something. So we'll see you, everybody, next week. That will be August the 7th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And thank you all for tuning in. Thanks, Ron, as always. You know, you come up with stuff, and it's interesting, informative, and very entertaining each week. So really cool. And you have an event next week, so you know, we'll do what we got to do for next Thursday and make it for a good cause and everything. Good again. So
very good.
Y'all have a good one, and thanks for tuning in. Have a great rest of the week and a good weekend ahead. Do you
thank
have
y'all very much.
This weekend?
Yeah,
nope, you don't have anything
this
weekend.
Weekend.
Okay, that was last
nope.
weekend. Okay, good. Just want to make sure I didn't miss anything.
Nothing. Thank you all very much.
We'll see y'all. Thanks.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Follow the Armed Forces Radio Network on Twitter at the AFRN and on Facebook at facebook.com/Armed Forces Radio. Thank you for listening to this show. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.